Hi, my name is John.
And my name's Chris.
And this is Stay on Target.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Stay on Target. We are your hosts.
You can find us online at stayontargetpodcast.com.
That's right. So, John.
Yes.
This has been a week.
This has been quite a week. We did a, this is kicking off November movie month here on Stay on Target. And we kicked off earlier this week. We did Interstellar.
Yes.
Tuesday.
We saw it in IMAX.
In the IMAX. Yep.
70 millimeter.
Yep. Film. You got the film dimensions correct this time. In the actual review, both you and I totally butchered them.
Yes.
But that was very, very late at night as well. So
it was, phenomenal movie.
Man, after a couple days, and it sunk in now.
Go see it. Definitely check out our review. So it's more than just a review. It's an analysis of the entire movie.
Yep.
And say you come out of watching that and you think there were some plot holes.
And your face is melted.
Go listen to our podcast. We will explain them to the best of our ability. I think it was one of our best reviews we've ever done.
Yeah, it was one of the most thorough ones, I think.
Yes.
Because we covered a lot of angles and I feel like, because we had to think about it so much while we're in the movie.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of questions coming out of it.
Yeah.
I know that I had a lot of things where I wanted to match up. And so, like, I would bring that up. You guys would fill in my holes. Mm-hmm. I would fill in those. So it's like we basically were like puzzle pieces.
Yes.
And as we fit together, we grasped a greater portion of the film in the amount of time that we spent on it.
We also kind of walked through it in a linear fashion. And we don't always do that.
That's true.
But I think it needed to be done. You know, like, it was hard to talk about certain aspects without talking about the ones that came before, you know.
So, Chris, after a couple days, does your assessment still hold?
Yes.
Like, we usually give everything a number rating at the end. Does the number still hold and everything?
Definitely. I want to see it again, like, even more than I did, you know, right after I walked out. But yeah, like, for sure, like, it, the more I think about it, like, you know, like, everything we talked about on the podcast, dead on.
Yeah, so. I agree. My number still holds up. So, yeah. This week, or I guess right now, second podcast of the week, we're going to be reviewing Big Hero 6. We caught a press screening of that, and we'll be reviewing that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah. What have you been playing this week, John?
Dude, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
We will have to do a review of that as well
in
the near future.
I came in back from Phoenix right before the...
You flew back for it.
I flew back for the Interstellar review. So I flew back from Phoenix in order to do that. But I got here a couple hours early and was able... And I had pre-downloaded the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. And actually, I didn't have any of the issues that other people who had preloaded had.
Right.
So I was able to just get right on, play for a couple hours before we went to the showing. Man, that game is crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's a good game. You streamed on Twitch, too.
I did. I did, in fact. A few people watched me. I don't know who all was watching me. So if you were watching me out there, thank you.
Yes.
That was fun.
So that came out, I think, over the weekend. We both played some of the Evolve beta.
That's true.
So let's spend a little time here. So first of all, the Evolve beta, it was hard to get into a match.
I was about to say, would you call it a rousing success?
No.
I wouldn't either.
I'm not, you know, excited about
it. It was funny, a lot of the friends that we play online with...
And I don't know that it was a beta, it was actually an alpha.
It was an alpha, yeah. It was an alpha. And the friends that we play online with the first night, I got on, like, there. It was available one day. I actually couldn't play it that day, so I started playing it the next day. And I asked them, hey, do you want to play Evolve? And they said, do you want to play the sit at a loading screen game? And I was like, what do you mean? And they said that they had, like, been trying to get in the previous night for hours and hadn't been able to get in. And that was, like, it was just this crazy, crazy, egregious loading time. And part of it was the idea that whenever you were in a party, like, with more people, the more people you had, the harder it was to find a spot. Because it doesn't, like, say you have four people.
Mm-hmm.
One of those four people who are in your party cannot be the beast.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be the monster. So you can't, like, party with five people and one of you guys is the monster.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, if you're going to be the monster, you have to be separate and you can't be in a party with people. That's nuts. Just absolutely nuts. Because then it becomes this situation of, like, okay, so unless I'm sitting by myself, it's not easy for me to get into a match. Because immediately whenever I got out of a party with people, I was able to get into a match within 15 minutes, which was still ridiculous.
I mean, but I don't know about that because I tried, I spent about probably about an hour and a half on Sunday letting my console try to find me matches. And it was just me. I wasn't partying up with anybody.
Wow.
I played a grand total of 3 matches.
That's awful.
So a match every 30 minutes. Like, that's ridiculous. And the thing was, I was never the monster. You know, like, I my goal was, I was like, hey, I'll play some matches where I'll, you know, I'll try to take down the monster and then I'll play the monster, you know, so I can, like, get a feel for both sides of it. Never the monster.
That's weird.
Like, it was just because I didn't have any more time to waste, you know, like, I had gotten up, eaten breakfast, turned it on, you know, all that kind of stuff. And,
well, shouldn't take an hour and a half to get into a match.
No.
What we were doing, whenever we were on was we would split off and all of us would load it, right?
Yeah.
And if one of us got in,
invite the others.
He would send out a party invite, and whoever got there, and whoever didn't. And what I found was there's actually specific people who it was way harder for them to get in.
Weird.
And it was way harder for them. Like, so a friend of ours that we play with, he never got in by himself. He always had to join on somebody else.
Wow.
He, like, not once did he ever find a match by himself. Yeah. And it was just crazy. So I hope they fix that. As far as the gameplay goes, what did you think while you were in your 3 matches?
You know, I don't,
I played substantially more than that. I just want to know what your take was.
I like, the mechanics of, you know, actually shooting and the guns and the different classes. Okay. I don't like the control scheme and I do not like the jumping.
Yeah.
You know, so what I don't like about, you know, the control scheme is like your normal, like, reload and, weapon switch buttons are no longer like those buttons. They perform different functions that are unique to your class. And so, whenever you switch around until you get a handle for the classes, like, you're never going to know what these buttons are going to do whenever
right.
you press them. So that was, you know, slightly frustrating. As far as the jumping goes, like, you know, there's a cool double jump functionality. Isn't there? Or do you just
it's a double jump. So, like, it sort of is. You have, like, a fuel bar, and I could never get the hang of this.
And that's the
thing.
But
the way it was explained to me was that you have this fuel bar, and if you double tap it, you dash forward so you can, like, try to catch up to the monster or, like, try to catch up to people. And so, but you use tons of fuel to do that. But if you just hold down the button, that is your, like, really slow jump, and it uses your fuel really slowly, but you go higher.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. I never really got the economy of the double jumps
or the fuel
the fuel,
and that's the thing. So, like, the thing I didn't like is, okay, so there's several locations on the map that you have to get up on top of, and so say you jump and you miss your jump, okay, which happened to me quite frequently,
right?
Well, you've used all your fuel. Your only recourse then is to climb up 2 or 3 flights of stairs that get you up to where you need to be. It takes so long. It's
or
just
to
so
stand
stupid.
There.
Or stand there and
wait.
Get killed.
So, like, I would have been more okay with it if it was more of a Titanfall-esque or even an Advanced Warfare situation where you only have one double jump or you only have a certain amount of double jump.
Right.
And
but as soon as you hit the ground, you can use it again.
Right. So it's like there's no, like, downtime.
Right.
I realize what they're trying to do. They're trying to create this scarcity of your fuel and of your resources and stuff like that. But it just doesn't work. It didn't work for me because it slowed down the gameplay, and that was not as intriguing.
What did you think of the art style?
The art style was fun. The aliens, like, other than the monster that you encounter, because you encounter like other things. There were some really cool things that were out there, but overall, it was really well knit together, but nothing really variant. I would almost, it was very dark all the time.
Yeah.
And I would almost like to see a little bit more variance between, like, this beast versus this beast. Because it's like, oh, he's this kind of naked, wet lizard thing. And then there's the other naked, wet lizard thing.
Well, another thing, you know, like, there are larger monsters you encounter as well, besides just the evolved monster.
Right.
And so, like, that was confusing because, you know, whenever you first go in and you don't know really what the evolved monster looks like in all 3 stages of his life, you know, like,
sure.
I didn't know, oh, is that him or is that not him? Or, you know, like, and, yeah.
So I did play as the monster, and those, the AI monsters that are kind of spread across the map are 4 they're obviously threats to the hunters, but they're also their food for the monster. Yeah. And so each of them takes a certain amount of time to kill. So like the bigger ones take a longer time to kill, but you have to kill them in order to evolve to your next stage. Once you reach stage three, you can kind of go take it to the hunters and take them down.
Right.
Whenever I was playing as the monster, it was really fun to kind of, you know, whenever I knew that I was super far ahead, be able to take down one of these bigger beasts and then get more shield and get more capability to evolve there. But I don't know. It's like the AI was very, it wasn't smart, really. It would just kind of like run, you know, away from you, mm-hmm. even if it was to their like off a cliff or like mm-hmm. even if it was like they were just kind of meandering and they weren't really that smart. And right. so it was interesting to see that. I don't know. I mean, like, there's a few things about that that were crazy, but I will say this. It was really fun to be the monster and to take down the hunters.
Oh,
it was really fun. Super fun.
I can imagine. I just never experienced it.
Oh, dude, and you also, like, with the monster, you get these abilities that you can upgrade. So you have four abilities off the bat, and you can choose to upgrade them three times or whatever. Each one is available to be upgraded three times. And each time you evolve, you get extra points to upgrade. And so as you evolve, you decide what you want to be powerful in. So every time you play it, you could do something different, whether you want your fire breath to be the most powerful thing or whether you want your rock throw or whatever it is. So
did you ever kill the monster?
I did. I did, in fact. And it's hard. We actually killed him right at the end, like whenever he was about to take everybody down and there was one guy left and just took him out. And I mean, it was over basically. And we took him down. It was really fun, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Really fun.
Other than that, I don't know, what else I've been doing this week.
Nothing.
That's about it. It's been a full week. Busy.
It has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so.
Well, we have a Big Hero 6 review, but first,
the news!
All right, John, big news today.
Huge news.
If you're a Star Wars fan, or even if you're not,
this is huge news.
We have the title of Star Wars Episode 9.
Yep.
Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
The Force. What do you think of this title?
I'm indifferent.
I mean, it's like the other titles, A New Hope.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back. We had Return of the Jedi, uh-huh. and then what were the prequel titles? Phantom Menace,
Clone Wars,
and we had
Revenge of the Sith.
So I guess of all of the existing titles, the weakest title so far was The Clone Wars.
Yes, for sure.
Because we didn't know what that was at the time.
Right.
But then once we figured out kind of
and
what that was.
And it still wasn't even really about them.
No. It was just the spark that started them. Right. And then they had the Clone Wars television show that actually showed The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So it's like the name didn't really even mean
much.
Oh, wait.
It was Attack of the Clones.
That's what it was. It was Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that. I mean, like, that doesn't even say anything.
No.
I mean, anyway. But The Clone Wars television show fleshed out that thing. So it's like, does this title really even mean anything to what we will end up seeing? I kind of hope it does.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, I'm super excited about the movie. It does sound like a video game title to me.
Well,
just a little
bit.
It's
like, I thought The Force was already awake, you know?
Yeah. Well, wasn't there a video game called The Force Unleashed?
Yeah, Force Unleashed.
So it's if it's already been unleashed, now it's going to be awakened.
Yeah.
So
who knows what this means? I don't dislike it. I don't necessarily, you know, like, it doesn't excite me in any way. You know, if it was kind of like, you know,
I mean, what do you like? I don't understand what people want. Maybe a plot detail in it or something. It's, you know, so
I mean, but you know, you think about Return of the Jedi, like, that sounds cool. You know, like,
yeah,
that sounds awesome. Empire Strikes Back. That's, what are they striking back against? You know, what are they going to do?
There is,
you
know, drama, like, there. A New Hope.
Yeah, The Force Awakens.
I mean, it's, what's it awakening from? I mean, maybe we're not talking about the good side of the Force. Maybe we're talking about the dark side of the Force, because there are the two. So, I mean, this could mean almost anything, and it could be really cool. By the end of this, we may be like, hey, that was one of the most accurate, coolest titles we've ever heard. But
yeah,
I don't know. We just don't know enough right now.
It's literally, the Force is a being.
Yep.
And it wakes up from a deep slumber.
It's like a bear
Yes.
that's been hibernating
Yeah.
all winter. That was me trying to be bear, but it really wasn't that threatening.
It was not threatening at all.
No. I felt like Simba there.
So we also have some more movie news. Toy Story 4 is coming in 2017.
Dude, so excited.
Yeah.
Toy Story 3 is still one of the most emotional movies I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like whenever they're all going in, I'm not going to share that spoiler. Never mind. Some people might not have seen that.
I mean, I cried at the movie.
I cried numerous times.
Yeah. And that's probably why I don't watch it as much, because I know I'm going to cry again.
So is that like a detriment? Maybe that's maybe a different topic. Maybe we should cover that topic as like a Operation Countdown or something.
All right.
A little bit later this month.
That sounds good.
About whether that's something that's good or bad for movies.
Yes. All right. That's good. You should write that down so we don't forget it.
I will write that down so we don't forget it.
Some other new movie news. The Hateful Eight is happening, and they have released the cast. Samuel L. Jackson will play Major Marquise Warren. Kurt Russell as John the Hangman Ruth. Jennifer Jason Leigh as Daisy Domergue. I don't know how to pronounce that. Walton Goggins as Chris Mannix. Damian Bicher as Bob. Tim Roth as Oswaldo Mowbray. Michael Madsen as Joe Gage. And Bruce Dern as General Sanford Smithers. Channing Tatum has also signed on for an unspecified role.
He's the alien.
An alien.
Just, he's going to be an alien in there.
I don't think there's an alien in this movie.
No, there's definitely not.
I love, you know, all of Tarantino's stuff. Like, I can't wait for this. You know, I'm glad that it's actually happening. You know, he got really...
Yeah, there's all that drama.
There was all the drama because his script, you know, he passed around like 6 copies of a script to like closest friends for some feedback. And one of them gave it to his agent, who then leaked it out to the world. And like... obviously Tarantino was upset. He's like, I gave freaking 6 copies out. It's not like I gave it to everyone I knew. I gave it to 6 people that I trust implicitly, and it got out. Like, it's ridiculous.
One of those guys is not getting a Christmas gift this year.
Oh, for sure.
Speaking of something like that though, Disney is actually, you know how like whenever the Marvel Avengers Age of Ultron stuff leaked early.
Yeah, the trailer.
Yeah, whenever the trailer leaked early, they were all really cool about it. Like they tweeted out about it where they said, oh, I guess Hydra leaked it. And so a lot of people were actually thinking that they leaked it themselves because of how cool they were about it. And then they just went ahead and released the high def version anyway.
Yeah.
And like all this stuff that went on. But they're actually seeking legal action against whoever did it. They don't know who the person's identity yet, but the user that, where the file originated had a Google Drive account, well, and that's where it came from.
Posted on their YouTube account is what it was.
Right.
So they are requisitioning, or actually one of the...
They petitioned...
circuit court has told Google, hey, give us all your information on this user.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So they're going to hunt them down, man. They're going to, as cool as they were about it on public, it's like they're going to come after him, man.
They're going to find him. They're going to have the Hulk beat him half to death.
To smash.
Yes, Hulk smash him.
they'll just like step in and Hulk smash.
Yes.
And he'll just dive on him.
Yeah. Last bit of information, or sorry, news for today.
Mm-hmm.
Valiant Hearts, we reviewed that whenever it came out. There is a new comic out that follows the story of the dog and in the events leading up to the war.
That's awesome!
On sale on iOS. It's $9 total if you buy it, the whole thing. Like, you can get it in installments. Or if you own the iOS version of Valiant Hearts, you get it for free.
How much is the iOS version of Valiant Hearts?
This is the thing. I need to research this, but a friend of mine bought it. Like, thought they bought the whole thing, and they got through with the first chapter, and it was like, okay, the next chapter is $5 more. So there's 4 chapters. I think the
$20.
Are the 3 chapters or 4 chapters?
I don't remember.
It was either $15 or $20 for this thing.
Hmm. Well, which is what you spend on console.
Well, then it must be $15 then. It must be 3X. Or maybe you get the first one for free and the rest of them are you know, pay for or whatever. But this is the thing. If you're going to buy a $9 comic, you might as well buy the game and have the game on your phone and the comic.
That's why I ask, because like, I will buy the comic.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to play that again, and it's a really cool game for like on the go. I feel like it's like... perfect.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We're on the go.
We reviewed it. I'll post the link in this post on Stay on Target Pod.
stayontargetpodcast.com.
I can't talk tonight.
You can't talk tonight.
No. But yeah, it was a great game, dude.
Yeah.
I collected all the things.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I don't know that I don't know that I went back and did.
There were like 99 or something.
There's
like
a lot of them. I collected the ones on my way, and I loved like looking up the history about it. Like they had these cool blurbs about a war that a lot of people may not know a ton about anymore.
Yeah.
It's bigger in Europe than it is in the US. So
this makes me question though, like, was this story supposed to be told in the game at some point? And maybe they figured out, well, this doesn't really fit. Because it takes place before the war, how do we fit this in the timeline that they had? Then they just decide, well, this is still good stuff. We're just going to release a comic.
So I guess the dog was the through line through the whole thing, but originally the original concept was based on a bunch of letters that that the writer's like great grandfather or something had, and so I mean the dog was kind of just there to facilitate like a unifying line on the gameplay.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe it was something where they said, "Hey, we can supplement this." Maybe they said something, "Hey, there's more story to tell here." Maybe they had it from the beginning. I don't know, dude. I mean, it's gonna be interesting to read it because I loved the way that universe played around, especially with the dog. Because like the dog, I don't know, it's just such a cool concept to have that dog in each person's life.
If you want to find the game on the App Store, it is Valiant Hearts. The Great War, the interactive comic book, is called Valiant Hearts, Dogs of War.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
It is.
It's perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's the news. So, John.
Yes, sir.
This week we saw Big Hero 6.
We did, in fact.
Disney's new movie. From the creators, apparently, of... they said this. From the creators of The Incredibles.
And... Frozen.
And Frozen. I think they just mean John Lasseter.
Yeah, John Lasseter is the through line there.
Yeah. But what was incredible,
play on words. Oh, are you punning?
I didn't actually mean to, but it kind of came out that way. What was...
We like puns.
What was really cool is a lot of the characters looked like character models from The Incredibles.
Dude, and the whole world, like even... it was so amazing how good the art direction and the art style was on this film. Because the whole world, whether they were going for this photorealistic thing or whether they were going for this larger-than-life thing, it all just looked really cool.
Yeah.
And like The Incredibles did. Like, because you have The Incredibles where he's got the tiny little car. And so it felt a lot like that because you have a small kid, but it's this huge world.
Yeah.
So it's this big disparity of universes.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to see those meshed together.
Yeah. Well, let's start at the beginning, kind of. It basically, you know, sets up the story, and we're not going to do, we have to do a non-spoiler part, and we have to do a spoiler part.
Yep.
All right, so.
So, non-spoilerish.
Non-spoiler. Overall, like, art direction, amazing. Like, this is one of the prettiest animated movies I've seen in a long time. The animation's great. Art direction's great. Like, a lot of it looks so realistic, even though it's, you know, a cartoon. There's this place is, it's set in a place called San Fran... Tokyo? What was it? San Francisco.
Yep. Which is a mesh between Tokyo and San Francisco.
Yes. Like it's got like the trolleys and it's got the hills and it's got a bay and a bridge.
Well, it's
and,
got the prison island out there.
Yeah, that's kind of an Easter. Like they didn't go there, but like you see it out in the corner. You know, so like it's got all this pretty stuff going on, and there's all these lights and sounds and people, and like it really does feel like a living city. And I think, you know, like of all the things I could say about this movie, the biggest thing is that it felt like a real place. You know, like even whenever you're inside his room, that feels like a real room. Like it doesn't feel like you're in an animated movie, and it feels like you are somewhere, you know, like you're actually there. And a lot of that is due in part to the animation. And I think some of it, honestly, like for the first time was due in part to the 3D aspect of the movie.
That's true.
This is probably the best 3D I've ever seen on a movie. A lot of times, you know, like things will go out of focus. You'll see double things. They'll throw things in your face just to be gimmicky. And none of that happened here.
There was no gimmicks. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a good point. There were no gimmicks whatsoever in this one. Like,
and
there wasn't something that came out really close, or
there
like
could have been.
Yeah, like I mean, this is a perfect movie for that.
Yeah,
Because you're kind of, you know, it's a superhero movie.
Right.
It's like even in Captain America, Winter Soldier, within 5 minutes of the movie, his shield is coming 4 inches from your face.
Right.
And so it's like, for them not to do that, to show that restraint on this film, really shows like a maturity. And I think that really, like, filmmaking wise, this was a very mature film, very well crafted, fully fledged film.
Yeah. Music.
Amazing. There was only one moment that it was kind of awkward, and that was whenever, is it Patrick Stump or was it Fall Out Boy?
Oh, they're one and the same.
There was a licensed song that they used from Fall Out Boy, and it was okay, but the score, the actual strings and the horns
was so much better.
Was so beautiful that it's why waste time, I guess,
well, I'll tell you
on
what
some licensed thing.
We've talked about music in movies before, and you know, like, whenever music draws attention to itself in a way that pulls you out of the experience, you know, like, that's usually a bad thing. You know, like,
right.
Sometimes it's not. Like, you know, you think about Rocky, you know, and Eye of a Tiger, you know, like, you really notice the music, you know, it's upfront and in your face. Okay. So you pay attention to it, but it lends itself to the movie so well that it is a good addition.
For sure, man.
This was just kind of like, I don't know why this song is in here.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, it was kind of during a montage part, but we had a better montage earlier, like in the garage, and that was just an orchestral score that was beautiful and, like, it made the scene really emotional, you know?
Right. And as far as the... We heard it again at the end credits, the same licensed song. And so it was just like,
weird.
You were reminded of one of the low points in the movie almost. And so, like, to end it with that just seemed a little strange to me.
Yeah.
I will say that the art at the end, like the final credits or whatever, was amazing. And I could have just looked at that all day. There were so many different, I guess, panning shots, still shots, very wide shots of the city that were so beautiful that I would love to just print and hang on wall, man.
Yeah.
I will say I've been into San Francisco, love San Francisco, great place, and they nailed that city. And while they did have the aspects of it that were looked like Tokyo, that were Tokyoized, if you will, it still felt like San Francisco. It was the streets. Any action scenes that were in there definitely felt like it. It was nice to see the different neighborhoods as well, because you start off and you're in one neighborhood. They live in a kind of a different place, and it very has the same vibe as the different neighborhoods in San Francisco. Even whenever, you know, you go down towards the water, towards the Bay Area, that was very much San Francisco style. So they nailed the vibe of that city and of the livingness of it.
Yeah.
The busy streets and things. Character wise,
yeah,
I loved the characters.
I love the characters. You know, they're all very unique. They all have their special, you know, abilities, and I think that they cast them perfectly. So I, you know, the standouts to me in my mind, obviously Ryan Potter as Hero, he did a great job,
man,
and then
awesome.
Scott Adsit as Baymax did a great job. But for the supporting cast, the standouts were T.J. Miller, who plays Fred. So if you've seen, you know, he was in the latest Transformers movie. He is in Silicon Valley. He was on Cloverfield back in the day. Like, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's hilarious. I like him a lot. He did a great job as Fred. And Damon Wayans Jr. did a great job as Wasabi. Coach. He plays Coach on New Girl. Like, phenomenal job. And then Maya Rudolph was Cass. And I think, you know, like, it was just really well cast. And this is the thing, though. Like, with the exception of T.J. Miller, who you immediately, like, he is such a recognizable voice. There's no getting around that that's T.J. Miller. You know what I mean? But his character matched his personality exactly.
Right.
And so it worked. But the rest of them, like, I forgot that, like, I wasn't sitting there thinking, hey, I'm watching Coach, you know? Like,
right.
You know, like, they did a great job in their own right.
It's so interesting these days whenever you go to see a animated feature. Disney and Pixar are a little bit better about it, but a lot of times, like, you'll have, like, stars. Like, there was the Dr. Seuss movie with, like, Taylor Swift, and, like, she did a good job and things. Or there's, like, the ones with, like, just random stars that just kind of pop up. And they can go either way because they're not used to voice acting. Maybe they're used to regular acting. And it's a little bit different of a game, or maybe they're not used to being directed a certain way. And to see their being those stars, like even TJ Miller and the guy who plays Coach, both of those guys, they're stars outside of this and things. And so to see them do such a good job that I forgot, except for TJ Miller, like you said, that I forgot it was Coach, that I connected with his character as, like, I noticed it off the bat. I was like, that sounds like Coach. But then I forgot about it as the movie went on and he became that character in my mind. For them to do that with these characters is amazing. But the rest of the guys, like, I didn't really know who they were beforehand necessarily. And so they did this really good thing with those characters. It's also nice that they were all really authentic. And I don't know if that was just because their personalities matched the character. Maybe they pulled the whole situation where even the guy who plays Coach, his character had kind of that wild, you know, mentality.
He was,
you know, perfectionist and stuff, but he still had that kind of bombastic voice and that sort of thing. So I wonder if they maybe cast the characters because they were, though, you know, more like that.
I'm sure, you know, like that just makes, you know, the movie more authentic whenever, like, okay, this is, you know, because, you know, you think about somebody like, you know, for instance, Coach, you know, he has, like, this is who he is whenever he acts, you know, in these funny situations. And so, like, hey, let's play off of that instead of try to work against it. You know, like, let's use that to our advantage, use his strength to our movie's advantage, you know, and use that humor and that style of humor.
For sure, dude. So as far as the Marvel Universe, this is completely separate from the live-action Marvel movies. And I don't know what they're trying to go with here. This is a comic that actually was back in the day. Like, it didn't run for very long, but it's a deep cut in the Marvel Universe. And so they basically used this deep cut so they could kind of reinvent it in their own way. And it was more of a Disney film than it was a Marvel film. And even you pointed out before we saw it that on the screen, like, there was this big, you know, picture of it, and it didn't say Marvel anywhere. It said Disney's Big Hero 6.
Did it say Marvel ever during the beginning credits? I don't know if it did either.
I don't know if did it do the whole
I don't remember it.
You don't think so?
No.
Interesting. I mean, so it's like this is very much being billed as a Disney movie.
Yeah.
And I wonder if maybe they're going to start a Disney superhero side where you have the kids movies, essentially, or the animated Disney superhero universe.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that. You know, like, I think my desire would be more for them to do something along the lines of Star Wars, where, you know, you have your main live action movies, but then you have the Clone Wars and you have Rebels that – yeah, they're cartoons, but they fit in the same world. They exist in the same universe, and, you know, like, they're not separate from each other.
Yeah.
And it would be cool to see, like, a lighter, you know, maybe a more kid-friendly version of the Marvel universe along lines of Big Hero 6. That actually does have weight. You know, like I mentioned, you know, like, all you have to do really is, you know, like, Hero, you know, like, he has an Iron Man backpack or something like that. Or,
right.
Like, he you know, it's just a nod that these heroes exist in this world, and it's someone maybe that this kid looks up to, but they don't interact with, you know, just because you're in the same world doesn't mean you have to interact with them.
Right.
I live in the same world as the President of the United States. I've never interacted with him, you know.
But you both like American flags, obviously.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, just because, say, Iron Man exists in this world doesn't mean I have to interact with him, even if, you know, like, I'm running my own, like, you know, kind of superhero
franchise.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I guess they kind of answer that by setting it in San Francisco off the bat. Because, like, there is no San Francisco. It doesn't exist.
True.
It's a Tokyo-influenced San Francisco. But yeah, I mean, like, I would love to see potentially maybe some spinoffs. Maybe, I mean, there was lots of potential in this film, like, and no spoilers here, but there's lots of potential for other people with potentially powers or with potentially, you know, whatever's going on in this universe. There's a lot of potential there. And maybe to go to another city or to have a spinoff with one of the characters from the six. I feel like that would be a really cool thing. There's some depth there. When you mentioned, like, maybe an animated television show, it would be cool to see maybe one of these characters in, like, a TV movie or something like that on the Disney Channel. That'd be really fun.
Yeah, and we even talked about, like, okay, well, what if down the road, you know, we have a Incredibles 2, we have a Big Hero 6 2, and then what if they, like, exist in the same universe, and it's, like, Incredibles versus Big Hero 6
or
something.
A team-up movie?
Yeah, or a team-up movie. Yeah, that'd be crazy. Although, they're two very distinct different worlds, you know, like, these are obviously not the same world.
Right. Or maybe they all cross over into the Avengers via multiple Earths.
Yes.
That would be cool. Via like a portal or something, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, at its core, like, this is a kid's movie. Like, you have, you know, like, you have comedy, you know, along the lines, you know, of, you know, there's smart nods here and there, but then there's also a lot of, like, slapstick and fart jokes, you know, like,
There was one. Yeah. I was trying to remember, yep. But there was one, and it was really
it was funny. Like, you're okay, gonna laugh. So yeah, it's not like
it was
bad
funny because like usually I don't laugh at those types of things. Yeah. Like whenever the Transformers movies or whatever, like their type of right. like weird humor that is supposedly geared towards kids.
Yeah,
like that I'm like I shake my head at. But yeah. these I definitely laughed at. That's right. why I was like I was trying to struggle to remember some like any jokes that would be that way. But yeah, there were a couple. So
the you know like if you've seen the previews for this movie, you know, like, obviously, like, you've seen the balloon robot, Baymax, right. and, like, he is as endearing of a character as, you know, you can get on the big screen, you know, and as funny as you think the trailers look, like, it's that funny, like, throughout the entire movie, you know? Right. It's not like they used all the good spots for the movie or for the trailer.
Right.
You know, like, it's a good movie.
And what's interesting about that, I think there was one trailer where they actually didn't end up making it into the final movie. Like, I think there was one where they had some joke that he had made, similar to the way that they did with Frozen,
yeah,
where they kind of had this trailer that had, you know, this jokiness in it, and then it didn't end up being in the final
whenever
film.
They were getting, I think it was the animated short with the snowman,
that's
and
right,
like the whatever the reindeer's
the
name
the
was.
Reindeer, yeah, and so I guess like Disney's gotten really good at their marketing for things. And this was very much like it felt great. Felt like it matched the marketing. Mm-hmm. Whereas Frozen, on the other hand, I felt like didn't necessarily match the marketing.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But this definitely feels like it matches the marketing and then takes it that step farther.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever really, like, the pacing felt great on the film. Great I never pacing. Really, there wasn't a slow moment.
Great pacing. I will say, like, the story is fairly shallow.
It's conventional.
It's very conventional.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, like we just saw Interstellar. You know, you take something, and we talked about with that. It's like, okay, well, you kind of think you know, like, okay, this is going to end up like this, but it's all about like how you get there, and you don't know how you're going to get there with Interstellar.
Right.
With this movie, you know how you're going to get there, and you do get there that way. You know, and so
I don't know. I didn't necessarily feel all of the time that way.
No, there were some twists and turns for sure, especially early on. But like once you get into the storyline, like you know what's coming next.
Yeah.
Like pretty much up until the end. But that's not bad. You know, this is a movie that's geared toward children who, you know, aren't necessarily
they don't know
in tune with those kinds of things.
Right. They don't know the classic setups, and they don't know what the quote hero's right. journey type of a plot line looks like.
But still, you know, whenever you compare this to something like The Incredibles, you know, like
right.
which is a superhero origin story, much like this is a superhero origin story, you know, it doesn't, you know, it's not an Incredibles on the same level, you know what I mean?
Right. 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 And I mean, while the art style does look similar, like you're right, the story definitely is way more conventional. Mm-hmm. I did like the interplay between all of the different characters.
Yeah.
And there's something that isn't in this one that I appreciated it not being in there that is sometimes in like heroes movies and things mm-hmm. like that, especially even like kids heroes movies.
Yeah.
And we can talk about that maybe after the spoiler yeah. thing. Cause I don't want to really spoil anything for people. So
yeah, well, let's get into that in a second. One thing I would say though, if you're going to take your kids, this it's rated PG or not PG 13. It's rated PG.
Yeah.
So it's not a G-rated movie. And there are some definite scary spots. Like if you have small children, like there were kids in our movie theater
crying.
Who were just crying.
Yep.
In the middle of this movie, like, and it wasn't because they were like, I think they were scared, dude. Like, they were, and it was always during the scary parts that they were crying.
Oh yeah, there's like an action, like I mean, it's action, heavy action oriented sometimes,
yeah.
like where like there's explosions, there's huge loud things going on, and it wasn't
yeah.
even that loud in the theater, but man, and then there's also some really sad parts
yeah.
in this as well.
Well, like and I'll you know,
and I know whenever we were kids, like our parents would watch out for some of the sad things. Or like things relating to loss.
Well, I'll relate it to you. like, I'll relate to, there are two spots in this movie that, you know, let's relate it to whenever Mufasa dies in Lion King. You know, that's a sad point.
The level of sad.
The level of sadness is exactly the same in two separate spots in this movie.
For sure.
And so, you know, just be aware of that. What if you're taking your small children to see this movie?
For sure.
Oh, by the way, we say go see this movie.
Yes, definitely go see this movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely go see this movie.
Yes.
But the spoiler clock is winding down.
Yeah.
It is, it's going down, and, oh man, here we go. Turn it off if you don't want spoiled. And it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, throw out a spoiler.
The bad guy is actually the professor from the beginning of the movie.
Dude, that's pretty deep spoilerage.
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't anticipate that at all. I don't know if you did. I almost thought it was his brother, though. Like, I almost thought that his brother wasn't going to be dead and that his brother had stolen his, like, and it's like, that would have been, like, ridiculous.
I never thought it was his brother because, like, his brother was always so encouraging and was always there for him. I did think that it could possibly be the old professor guy because, you never, let's say, so they make a big deal about his brother's funeral and stuff like that, you know, like, but they kind of just, they never really say that the professor died. Like, I think they might allude to it once or twice.
Well, his picture was right next to his brother's there at the memorial,
right.
Or whatever.
But it's not heavy handed at all.
No.
You know, so, you know, like, especially once we got to toward the end and I was like, we saw some of that, you know, security footage. I was like, okay, it's definitely him, like, for sure.
Gotcha. Well, and plus that rivalry is fun between him and the other guy, him and the other scientist. That was really interesting. Man, it's like his daughter, like, that was amazing. Like, that whole, like, the looking back at the tape, that whole situation. I felt like that was one of those scary moments that whenever it happens, like, there were kids that started crying or whatever, but it was really well done.
Actually, yeah, I guess there's three times. So there's the times that are scary, you know, like, so first Hiro's brother dies.
Right.
And the professor die right. in this giant explosion.
Oh my gosh, the explosion was a twist as well.
Which was amazing. Yeah, like, it was really cool, visually cool, the way it happened. And then, yeah, there's the professor's daughter basically dies in this explosion and this experiment gone wrong. And then Baymax essentially dies whenever he's rescuing Hiro and the professor's daughter from wherever this portal goes. You
right.
know? And it was almost too much for me. I was like, you know, like, man, this is just a lot, man. Like, I think the one that didn't hit me as hardest, the hardest was, you know, like, Baymax at the end.
Because you knew.
Well, because, you know, hey, you can build another one, you know, but,
right.
You know, it's just, it's a lot, dude.
Dude, it is. And, but, I mean, you compared it to, like, Mufasa and that sort of thing. I guess it is kind of on that level where a very much a main character, a character that you have spent the first half hour of the film, maybe more, being endeared to, like, his brother.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's just, you know, it's gone.
Yeah.
Ripped away from you. And so it's very much that level. And so I think about it, I don't know at what age I saw that movie at.
Yeah.
But I don't know about any younger than that, you know, whatever age I was whenever
probably
I saw,
like,
Lion King,
you know, 8 or 10, something like that.
So it's like, I wouldn't take anybody that was younger than, you know, 8 or 10 to go see this probably.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, you never know what they might think whenever they come, you know, is my brother going to go into a house and then die or something?
Right.
Or it's like, whatever, you know?
Right. So things I loved about this movie, like, I obviously love the graphics, you know, like, the school looks great, looks like a great thing. They did a great job with the robots. Even from the beginning, whenever they're doing some robot fighting, like, it feels, you know, kind of like real steel in a way. And something I will say, like, it's beautiful and detailed, but it also had a very clean look to everything.
Right.
You know, like, whenever they're riding on the motorcycle, getting with the cops, all the rooms, all the houses, like, a very clean look. And I really like that.
Dude, like, even, like, whenever you saw there is a shot of the street with these parked cars and cars are kind of going by or whatever, and there's traffic. But that shot alone, like, the paint on the cars, like, there was different layers to it where there was, like, the sheen and there was, like, the undercoat and then there was the dirt on top.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like you look at something like Forza. It looked that level of detail on the vehicles and on the windows and the reflections and things. So it very much surprised me how deep they went into this movie to make it look realistic.
Yeah, like a few of my favorite things, like details about the animation, you know, like I loved, you know, the bad guy's coat. Like, you know, up close, it looked like a real coat, you know, like, I loved the reflections. Like there was a pan up from the street up to Hero's room basically. And you see the street reflected in the windows and it was like, it looks real, you know, like looks completely real. There was a shot like during whenever they have like a bunch of people over at the house, like after his brother's funeral, just the way that scene is blocked and everyone's positioned and looks. But it feels like all this feels like a real space. It feels like I can go walk into these houses. Like, you know, that doesn't happen very often for me. Like,
right.
You know, you don't feel like you're actually in these locations.
Well, even in, especially in like animation and things, the shots don't look like real film shots a lot of times. Like they'll come from weird angles, or they come from an angle that you're not used to, or they do things that you can't do in real life.
In real life, yeah.
Where you have the moving camera shots and the, you know, but this film, the direction of it and the panning and the, like you said, the framing felt very much real. Like it felt like you were watching a live action kind of film, but instead of being live action, it was animated. So
I love the entire dynamic between him and his brother, and you know, the fact that then once he dies, he's able to maintain a relationship with him through Baymax, basically, because I think, you know, some of the best things about his brother put into Baymax, you know, and like his desire to help others, and you know, like his how he wants him to behave and how he wants him to say things and stuff like that, you know, like it's really cool. There was a whole dynamic, you know, like whenever he takes out his brother's chip, you know, like Baymax becomes a drastically different machine. So
a
like
monster,
it's very apparent, you know, like, okay, this is the differences between not only two brothers, but like, this is how big of a good influence like his brother was in his life and in other people's lives.
Right. And, it was nice on that plot line. Like if you look at the behind the scenes, like, what does it mean? What is the motivation? It was nice to have Hero go through the revenge situation. Mm-hmm. And then, so that way he can say effectively to the other guy, you shouldn't go through with the revenge situation. Cause if I had succeeded in my revenge scenario against you, I would have then, you know, I would have regretted it.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was nice to see that level of I guess plot put on there.
Yeah.
But you know, as far as like the conventionality of it, the other thing that I appreciated that they didn't do in this, that they do in a lot of superhero films and the hero's journey kind of things, was a love interest. Like we really didn't have much of a love interest going on in this movie. And part of that is because he's a young kid and he's dealing with like college age people.
Right.
But it was nice to see that. And it was nice to break that convention of this kind of genre. So
the one thing, you know, like I loved all the characters, loved the team, like how they end up, like they have really cool abilities, you know, the skating around and the breathing fire and the laser hands. And, you know, you have Baymax who can fly. And I love all that. However, like the development of the team was honestly pretty weak. It's just kind of like, okay, well, one day they're his friends. They find out that there's this evil supervillain, and then he makes them costumes and they...
Yeah.
You know, and so it's kind of like,
we didn't see, we saw a montage of them training sort of, but we didn't see really a ton of training.
Well, like, okay, why does he have laser hands versus something else? Why does she skate around? Like we saw her with the bike, but like, how do these like actually reflect their personalities and who they are as on the inside, you know, like what is their motivation for helping him? You know, like, is it out of memory of his brother or like, do they legitimately, like hanging out with Hero, you know, like
right. Well, also, like, I mean, I could probably, I would be able to answer those questions, like, but I would be positing like theories,
right?
As far as her character trying to go faster, like she referenced going faster. She's like, this wheel isn't fast enough, and so being able to skate around that fast or whatever, like that, you know.
I mean, they explain things, sense. You know, like, you know, the guy who wanted to be he was the mascot. He's basically this dinosaur. He wants them to make him a fire breathing dragon or something
and
like that.
And make him an invisible sandwich.
Yeah. And so like, but they, though, that's basically all the explanation you get.
Right.
You know,
I loved the wink to, being basically they had superheroes in their universe, and so they decided to become this superhero team or whatever.
I don't know if it's superhero. I think it's just like this is
comic books.
Yeah, like comic books. That's what I mean. A lot of comic books.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's like they became their what their one specific guy
right.
Wanted them to, and it was interesting because we saw the cameo from
Stan Lee.
Stan Lee.
That was weird.
That was amazing.
I did not expect that.
Me neither. And like you see him on the wall, like as that guy's dad, and but you don't expect him to come up. And in the post credits scene, he actually comes up and has lines of dialogue. Like Stan Lee is a character in this.
Who's he supposed to be?
He's his dad. I don't know. Like I didn't do much research, but it almost looks like the Rocketeer. Let me do some research. All here. Right. You talk for a second.
Yeah. So. But all in all, like I loved, you know, like I love the different skills of each member of their team. I think they worked well together. I love their personalities for sure. I'm really, really happy with the way that they interact with each other. And like, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see, you know, like, okay, well, we're a team and like, oh, we fall apart because we're not a team and we're trying to do our own thing. And then, oh, we have to learn how to be a team again to actually succeed. And you don't have that. And so I'm glad we don't have that because like that gets overused a lot, you know, like you have a lot of infighting or something like that. And there was never any kind of anything that even went in that direction. So I'm kind of glad that didn't happen.
For sure. And while you didn't see the characters really, the team, the ancillary characters really change from the beginning of the movie to the end, they were all still relatively the same people. It was nice that they were able to be there for Hero. And I will say that Hero's brother was so amazing, like unbelievably empathetic character. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like you could associate with him, and whenever he ends up dying, you truly feel some level of loss. And that was a situation while you know that it's going to happen, whenever it actually happens, he's going to walk into the fire. You don't expect it that soon, and you don't expect to not like not be able to say goodbye or not be able to see anything of it. And so like for that to happen, it was just incredible.
Yeah. Did you find out who Stan Lee is supposed to be?
I don't know yet.
All right. So, like another part about the movie that I really enjoyed was the portrayal of the college. You know, like it was a very cool atmosphere. Like it made me want to go to college there.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a very cool, creative atmosphere. And I guess I get the motivation of like the only big question I have is like, okay, why did the professor have to fake his own death in order to pull this off? Like Hero had already turned this guy down and wasn't going to sell his tech to him. Like all he does is have to keep Hero at the school and he can, you know, use his tech to get his daughter back or whatever. Like I don't really understand the motivation behind like burning the entire school down and faking your own death and killing someone in the process. You know, I don't
well, that was an accident. And so, I mean, he said
it was
an
accident, but if you're going to blow up a building, like, you know, it's going to cause like,
so I wondered damage. If even it was maybe an accident, like the fire started as an accident and he just used it to get his revenge because
it didn't sound like they were implying that. It sounded like they were implying that he set the fire.
That was up in the air. Like, I don't think they said it explicitly because at one point he says something about like, you know, how come you didn't die in the fire? And he said, because I had your whatever. It almost implying, hey, I got caught in this fire, but because I had your invention, I was able to do it. And I mean, that could be true, but I don't know.
I mean, I just don't know.
I think that it was implied, but maybe not explicitly stated that he started it.
There was also like this heartless response whenever Hero says something about his brother. You know, he's like, my brother tried to save you. And he goes, well, that was his mistake.
Right.
You know, like, and so like, this guy's,
which by that logic, it was also Hero and Baymax's mistake to go in and save his daughter. So it's like, you know, there's a lot of interplay going on there. That's
right,
crazy.
Right. I really love Baymax. Like the humor that accompanied that robot is amazing. Like the way he moves, how he runs, like
the way he says things.
The way he says things, you know, the fact that he's always like looking out for your health, you know, like is hilarious. You know, whenever they're going through the window and he does like start letting out air and it's, you know, it's just sitting there squeaking air out is hilarious, you know. there's a lot of really cool things and is a really endearing character. Like, I really want a Baymax robot in my room.
Dude, I was saying like Halloween just happened or whatever, but it would have been nice to see this before Halloween. Yeah. I would have gone as like Baymax or something, you know, just get a big blow up like trash bag suit or something and make your own Baymax. It's going to be interesting to see like cosplayers take these characters and do something with them. That'd be really cool.
And out of all the characters, you know, like Hero and Baymax both had, you know, some great character arcs, you know, like the basically Baymax, you know, learns how to be a friend and an action hero and,
right,
you know, like to be more than he was created to be. And Hero learned, you know, like, okay, like I can't just waste my skills, you know, on robot fighting. I can't just ignore the rest of the world because I'm sad, you know, like there's other things to do. So I'm honestly, like, as an origin story, I think it works really, really well, especially for something like this that's geared more towards kids. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the next version of this, the next movie. If it does well enough, you know, like if it doesn't do well enough, we probably won't see another one. But if it does, we definitely will, you know, like if the rest of the Marvel movies are any indication. And it'll be cool to see, like, okay, in the next one, after they've been a team for a while, okay, like what kind of stuff are they going up against? You know, what's their infrastructure for dealing with threats? You know, like we showed them kind of at the end, run around the city. You know, but they're not doing that, you know, for fun. They're doing it, you know, to fight crime and bad guys and stuff like that, you know. So it'll be cool to see where the sequel takes us.
So while researching this, I want to throw this out there.
Yes.
While researching to look up and see, try to figure out who he is, I can't find it really right now. There are like lots of Easter eggs in here, and there was an action figure of Mrs. Incredible on Fred's shelf.
That's amazing.
That's incredible.
Well, we mentioned, you know, like his aunt looks like aunt looks like Mrs. Incredible. Her face looks like it. She's not the same character, but looks like it.
Yeah, for sure. And like Wreck-It Ralph, like there's some Wreck-It Ralph stuff in there. Like there's a lot of Pixar Easter eggs that were in this film. Like there was a poster said Wreck-It Ralph coming soon and
that's cool.
Stuff like that. So yeah, anyway, I haven't found out. I don't think anybody really knows. He might just be a random one.
Yeah.
Could be the Rocketeer because he did seem to have like a jetpack sitting there. And that's what my initial thought was, like Rocketeer, you know, that type of thing, which would be really cool to see. If they did maybe a spinoff of his dad or like a prequel or something like that.
Yeah.
But do you want to rate this thing, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what would you rate Big Hero 6?
I think I give Big Hero 6 an 8.5.
I think I give Big Hero 6...
Actually, an 8. I
was going to say 8.
Yeah.
And the reason I wouldn't... Like, I'm not going to go as far as 8.5 is just the character development lack on the secondary characters. And also the conventionality of the overall story.
Yeah, those are the two things for both for me as well.
Yeah, and I think that they've set up a really cool universe that they can really go and run with a sequel. Let's do some spin-off stuff. Let's do some same universe thing. Let's have a team-up movie. I want to see this happen. But it's this is a great start to that, I think.
Yeah, like I really enjoy it. You know, like I'm, you know, right now at least it's one of my I would watch it again, you know, like I put it kind of up there, in terms of like how much I want to watch it with The Incredibles and with Lego Movie. Like I would watch this again for sure. But you know, whereas like this is an 8 and you know, like Lego Movie, I think we rated a 9. I think right now, if I was to rate The Incredibles, is a perfect 10.
Oh, of course. No, that's the
it's
perfect
like the gold standard.
That is the perfect, not only superhero movie of all time, like the best superhero movie of all time.
Yes.
It is. One of the best films of all time.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
But I still put it up there in terms of how much I enjoyed the movie. I put it up there with that, you know?
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun watching it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I was smiling from ear to ear almost the whole time. Like
yes.
I did some fist pumps too.
Yeah.
Like there was numerous times where I was like, yes.
Yes.
You know, where like things were going on that I
was
just amped up,
you know?
About. Yeah, dude. And if you compare this like to the beginning of the Marvel cinematic universe with like Iron Man, I very much put it on that like that fun level. Like where during the first Iron Man, you very much had a smile on your face a lot of the time. You were very fun while the stakes were real. You still a really fun time.
Yeah.
And this was exactly the same thing. I really, while it had those heartfelt moments, it very much felt like the first Iron Man kind of did, where it was super fun.
Yeah.
And developed one character or two characters incredibly well.
Yeah.
And that's the shining point, is the development on those two characters,
yeah.
which is what Iron Man was like. It was like the only character that really got some development was Iron Man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week.
Yep.
I'm not sure what we're doing next week, but we'll have some kind of movie theme to the episode to continue November movie month. And yeah, you can find us online at samtargetpodcast.com. We also do Flash on Target and Arrow on Target every week. You can check those podcasts out on the website, or you can search for them in the iTunes podcast store.
Also, make sure that you guys check out the Interstellar review that we did earlier this week.
Yep.
It's awesome. And make sure you guys check out Interstellar and check out our review as well.
Yep, you can find us online at samtargetpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at ChrisWright250.
And at JohnWright777.
That's it for this week. We'll see you next time on
Stay on Target.